Well, welcome, church. We're glad you're here. Happy New Year. Okay, there's like a quarter of you that are like, yeah, New Year, cool. Happy New Year to those of you on our online family. Paulden, that's you with your New Year's breakfast. Well done. Different year, same groove. Well played. Baghdad, we're so excited for you to be with us. We're excited for what God has for this year. Within your community, we can't wait to see all that he does. And those of you on the online family, Tracy in Minnesota by the Canadian border, sounds cold. Welcome to you and anyone else. We're glad you're with us. Okay, so if you're new to this space, and by new, I mean you're new to church, you're new to Heights, whatever kind of you feel that puts you in that category, if that's you, whether that's here in the room, whether that's across the screen, I'd like to just slow down to go, you belong here. I think it's really important that when, you know, it's one thing to say, hey, you're welcome. We're glad you're here. It's also another thing to entrust the gift of time. Time is one of the biggest commodities we have. And so to trust time and trust time too, and entrust your journey with God, whatever step, stage that's at, I just want you to know that whether you're here or whether you're across the screen, we don't take that lightly. And the reason we don't take it lightly is this, because you belong here. This is home. And what I mean by that is you belong because you are human. We often say, well, once you believe the right things, then you belong. No, you belong because you are human. And to be human is to struggle to discover this God who loves you and you were made for a relationship with him. We're all just fumbling into that together. Right? Like we're all just, this isn't a clean, like anybody's got it all figured out and look at that person and they're the model. That's not how this works. How this works is we need each other because we're all stumbling towards Jesus. We're all growing. No one is finished growing. No one has reached the level where we look at them and go, oh, they're a super saint. There are no things as super saints. There are just saints. And we're all, once you meet Jesus, we're all just saints, right? We're part of the family. And so if you're here and that's you, you go, hey, I don't even know if I should be here. You belong. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. The New Year's an interesting thing. I don't know if it's just age, but I got no desire in 2026 to like change all these things in my life. Right, like I got no desire to like make my habit stacking a certain way and like I'm going to be a better version of whatever, and I have no desire. So if you're here and you're like, oh, I'm excited for a New Year's message, I got news for you. That's not what this is, right? Like I don't have any desire to put a weight on you to make you measure up or to make a better, improved version. I don't think that's what the gospel calls us to. But I do think that the gospel calls us to wrestle with this idea of walking with God and what that looks like. I do think that the gospel calls us to kind of enter in on a relational level with God and go, what is it that God's doing in me? And back in earlier 2025, I got to go on sabbatical. And part of sabbatical for me was wrestling with God on the front side, going, hey, what is something that I'd really like to kind of see God change, develop, grow into my life when it comes to spirituality? And so I had this like specific topic I was interested in. I did what I think most people do. You grab a book and any information you can kind of consume. So I'm listening to different podcasts and messages and I'm reading this book, and the book is great. It's really inspiring. There's stories in there. Like this guy tells a story of being in eighth grade, I think it was, or middle school, and he just feels a burden for his school and it's summer break. Like God's doing something in him, and he's like, I want everybody to like have this. I want to see if you're real, God. So I'm gonna go and I'm gonna prayer walk on my summer break around the middle school every day. And so this guy's prayer walking his school. School starts and he goes, I'm going to start a Bible study. And so he creates this Bible study. He doesn't really know what he's doing, doesn't really understand the Bible, but he's like, we're just going to pick a passage, whichever one I kind of open the book to, and we're going to talk about it. And so these middle schoolers are doing this. And wouldn't you know that God rescues, saves, Jesus meets them and 2/3 of them end up meeting Jesus and are saved. Yeah, which you go, yeah. I mean, I'm sitting there reading this, like, I'm like, oh, this is amazing. I want this, right? And so you're inspired, and I'm reading it. Well, I get about 3/4 of the way through this book, and I'm just frustrated. I can remember where I was. I was by myself. I'd gone on a trip and when a Christian says frustrated, what they really mean is angry. You know, we just don't have anger because that's sinful. So we're frustrated, you know, but I'm angry. Like inside, I'm just like, I don't get this. This is frustrating to me. I'm not learning anything new. And as clear as anything, God steps into that moment as I'm unpacking emotions with him about this book. He goes, John, because you don't need more information. You have all the information you will ever need to be able to put this into your life. John, you need to do something different. You need to just do it. And the topic was prayer. You see, I can already tell you guys, some of you over the next 4 weeks are going to be bored out of your minds with me. Because you're going to be like, John, this is not new information. I would dare say that the average person does not need more information on prayer. You need to just do it. You need to do something different. And as I'm sitting with God and I come to this realization of like, I just need to do something different than I've been doing. I'm frustrated with my prayer life, and it's not because I don't know the Lord's Prayer. It's not because I don't know that the disciples came and said, hey, would you teach us how to pray? And he teaches them how to pray. It's not because there's not plenty of verses in the Bible that talk about prayer, and I haven't read those and spoke on those. It's not a lack of information. It's a lack of doing what I know to do. So let me ask you, how satisfied are you with your prayer life today? I had this image in this moment. You ever seen Big Hero 6? Right? Like, how satisfied are you with your character? Right? I am satisfied. I went this far. I got online and looked for a Baymax costume, and I was going to preach the whole message in a Baymax costume so that you would never forget it. Needless to say, they weren't very good, so that we don't have Baymax today. But how satisfied are you? It's interesting. The question raises emotion. It raises maybe feelings that I would say the gospel didn't create you for. Right? Like Jesus didn't save you for feelings of, I'm not satisfied. I'm not very good at it. I wish I was better. Right? Like I don't think, in fact, I would say this, that if you're still sitting in the camp of like, oh, I got this all together, you should see my prayer life. I'm really happy. Okay, hang on a second. And again, right, I'm not going to wow you with verses you don't know. But in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, it says this, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Okay, just so we're clear, the word devote means to faithfully do it. It means to, you are going to attach yourself in a way that this is what your passion is. Kind of like, there's a big game tonight. Don't know if you know. The Steelers are playing the Dirty Birds. And speaking of prayer, you just need to pray, right? This is our playoffs. We started tonight because we're that good, okay? But it's easy to devote ourselves to things, right? Like to faithfully participate in something, to be, that's what it's talking about, to devote, right? Like think in this concept that when you look at the New Testament, you get to the early church and the early church is gathering and it says they devoted themselves. They faithfully attached themselves to prayer. That was what they were known for. And when I hear that, I go, that's not me. Right? Like all of a sudden there's like, if that doesn't get you, and I got good news for you. 2026, you can start today by memorizing a verse of the Bible. You ready? You can leave here today with the victory of you memorized a verse from the Bible. It's maybe the easiest behind Jesus wept. You ready? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray continually. Good job. You walked out of here. You have attained Bible memorization. Pray continually. Okay, pray without ceasing. That means don't stop. Continually live in a dependent posture through prayer on God. Right? Like continually, like you are leaning into this dependency. And here's what we do in Christian world with this verse, okay? So pray without ceasing. Okay, well, you know what I do? It's kind of like a phone call. I call God in the morning because I talk to him and I don't hang up. And I just leave the line open all day between me and God. It sounds really good, doesn't it? It sounds like something tangible. Like I just call him and I go through my day and that phone's still there. And me and God, we're just having this phone conversation all day. Then I get to the end of my day and I'm like, okay, God, I got to go to sleep. Talk to you in the morning. I don't know about you. I'll just speak about me. I call God in the morning, every morning. God and I have a conversation as I'm getting ready. Then sometimes that conversation continues on longer depending on the day. But there's some point, we'll say an hour and a half. Been talking to God for an hour and a half, and then I step out and into my day. And my day often has these things called meetings. And sometimes, because that phone line's there, we'll talk to God, right? Like when we start that meeting, we'll pray to start that meeting. But if that meeting goes good, I may not talk to God for another 2 to 3 hours. So the line has been dead for 2 to 3 hours. And maybe I pick it up then, but you know what normally happens by then? It's lunchtime. And depending on if lunch is about fueling my body or if it's actually slowing down to enjoy the good gift that God gave me, right, of food, sometimes I'll pray for my lunch, sometimes I won't. I can go an entire day from the morning when I'm like, hey, good morning, God, all the way to night and go, huh, I never picked up the phone again. If you called me first thing in the morning, please don't, but if you did, and you're like, hey man, I'm just gonna leave this line open all day because I just wanna be connected to you and you don't talk for 3 hours, I'm hanging up on you, right? Like it's interesting, we take this verse and we try and make it something to make us feel better about what we're doing, but pray continually is pray continually. To be in constant dependency on God. And I don't know how you feel, but when I read these verses, it's really easy for a sense of guilt. I'm not devoted. A sense of, man, I don't talk to God continuously. Shame can creep in. Judgmentalness over, oh, if I was just more spiritual, I would have a better prayer life. Can I just ease the tension in 2026? Jesus did not save you to guilt, shame, and self-judgment. Those are not part of the gospel. So that tells me that we have made prayer something it's not. And we have missed the purpose of prayer for the process of prayer. We have grabbed prayer and we have made it this religious activity that if I was a good religious man, whatever, right? Like if I was good, I would do this and I would be winning gold stars to tell you through the year. That is not what prayer was intended to be. And so if you'll let me, I'd love to take the rest of our time just to shape prayer in a different direction because we've got to do something different. I have to do something different. Some of you are like, I memorized this verse. Okay, you ready? Or you're sitting there going, hey, we're talking about prayer. I bet he goes here. Philippians 4, verse? Well done. Good job. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. How many of you, just out of curiosity, you've memorized this verse at some point in your life? Yeah. How's your anxiety? Why? Because here's the thing. Memorizing a verse doesn't mean that I live the verse. Right? Like this is the whole point. I'm not giving you anything new. You're like, yeah, I've heard this before. I thought you'd say this. I'm kind of bored now. What time's the game on? Right? But the idea is the information doesn't transform you. It's the action. And prayer has to be something that you do. Like some of you are like, okay, we're going to talk about prayer. I'm going to go out and I'm going to get my new prayer journal. Right? And if you looked at your old ones, they're about a quarter full and you ran out and you stopped, right? And I'm not bashing that. I'm not bashing prayer journals. But what I am saying is somewhere along the line, we've substituted prayer journals for what prayer actually was meant to be to us. This verse here where it says, do not be anxious about anything. I think sometimes around prayer, we just need some fresh language. So I'm going to make a disclaimer. Don't email me, okay? Those of you that are here, those of you that are across screens, whatever, don't email me from what I'm about to do. Because I know for some of you, you don't like it and it will annoy you. Okay, I just need you to know you already live rent-free in my head, okay? So we're good. We're good. I already got you there. But in the Message translation, it says this, and it puts new language to it. Same verse. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Come on. That's good. I love that this came from a man who faithfully walked with God for a long time, Eugene Peterson. That when people, testimony of people that met Eugene, who translated the Message, have said that it was like sitting in the presence of Jesus. That's a beautiful testimony. And that's a guy I go, hey, I could learn a thing or two. Don't fret or worry. Okay, so it starts out with this thing that we're all common to. There's not a human alive that doesn't worry about something. There's not a human alive that isn't fretting. And he goes, instead of letting those things build up, instead of growing those things into your life, instead of letting worry grow into where it begins to take space and it begins to make you anxious because you're so worried and wound up and so concerned and how's it going to work out and I don't know and all the unknowns and all the stress, right? And it's building up. He goes, you can grow that, but he goes, don't grow that. Instead of worrying, do what? Pray. So if you hear nothing else and you want to take away, instead of whatever that is, pray. Instead, pray. Which tells me that I have a choice in my life about what I choose to grow. That there are seeds buried deep inside of you that were put there at the beginning of a time. That when God created humanity, he put these things, these seeds into humans that were meant to grow and flourish. And what we see in the person of Jesus is we see a restoration where now it is possible for the very things you were always meant to experience and grow, that now because of Jesus, you can grow again. This is not a whole collection of what they are, but it's just an idea that you were made with a seed inside of you for a relationship with God. The whole point of your existence is to be connected to the God of the universe. That the whole point of you is that this relationship would flourish. And guess what happens? Instead of whatever's going on, whatever's happening, and I pray, guess what happens? I grow by prayer. I grow this relationship with God. It's nurtured. I feel closer to him. I had somebody tell me just in between services that they had a moment where they're like, it resonated so deeply because I felt distance and I just got away and sat with God. And in sitting with God, I felt distance. And after I'd sat with him, I felt this closeness, this nearness. right? Why? Because prayer, instead of whatever it is, I'm going to pray, it grows the relationship. God dependent. That when I pray, what happens is I move from being independent, right? Because you are born independent. What prayer does is it makes you God dependent. That when I enter into this gift of prayer, what happens is this little seed inside of me that's been crushed by just being born as a human separated from God, all of a sudden in Jesus now, I can become God dependent in a way that everything depends on him. And I'm not trying to be self-independent. I'm not trying to be self-dependent. Control. Isn't it amazing that when you begin to pray, it's really hard to keep your hands closed and go, God, I'm praying, but I don't want you to touch these ones. I got these ones. Don't touch them. I don't want your influence, God, in this part of my life. That's not what happens. You begin to pray, and what happens? God, I need you to have control. I need to relinquish control. And that seed inside of you, you were created to not be in control. You know that, right? You weren't created to be in control. And what prayer does is it begins to nurture that seed, and that seed begins to grow. Healing. You know that one of the beautiful things about prayer is that within prayer, right, like we go to him in our brokenness, and what we get is healing. And the beauty of the gospel is this, that our God is a healer. And when I get in prayer and I get around him and I spend time, what I realize is that he is the healer and the only healer. And it changes because of my dependency, my control. I begin to trust him more. And guess what? Whether you experience that healing here or into eternity, there is healing coming that is full and complete. That's a promise. It was on the cross that what? Everything was restored to where you will be made whole again. God's wholeness that Eugene Peterson talks about, that's what you will experience. The power of God. Healing is one of the most practical ways when somebody comes up to you and they're like, hey, would you pray for me? And you're like, it's a gift, by the way, to pray for somebody else. And you get to pray for them. And after you're done praying for them, you prayed for healing. And then they contact you and they go, hey, guess what? I was healed, right? Like all of a sudden, what grew inside of you, you don't go, oh, well, God's not very powerful. That's weird. No, all of a sudden you're like, wow, I can't believe the power of God. All we did was pray and the power of God transformed, right? And all of a sudden there's this change. Why? Because the seed inside of you that you would trust the power of God has always been there. Gratitude. You ever notice that when you slow down, right? Like, and maybe for you, it's kind of at the end of the day, there's this thing called the prayer of examine that we may talk about in the coming weeks. We'll see. But one of the beautiful things about the prayer of examine is it happens at the end. It happens at nighttime. Some people believe nighttime to be the start of your new day. So the way that you start your day, according to them, is you have this prayer of examine. What is the prayer of examine? You just go back through your day. Where did you see the fingertips of God, fingerprints of God all over your day? Where did you see God show up? What did you, and all you do is thank him for it. And what gratitude does is all of a sudden you go to sleep, what? With a full heart, because you see the goodness of God in every single moment of your day. The moments that you just passed you by, all of a sudden you grab them and go, no, I'm not going to miss those. Right? And so this gratitude opens my soul up that he's the provider. When you sit at a meal, And you, so when you're not fueling yourself, you're actually sitting there and you pray and you begin to thank God for your food. What are you doing? You're recognizing him as what? Your provider. And it's a small little nudge to, if he can provide the food that I need to stay alive, he can provide everything else I need, right? And so all of a sudden, this idea of this little seed of him as provider begins to grow. We talked about this one a little bit, but talking to God for others. That it's a gift to be able to talk to God for others, right? Like, and the idea of prayer is where that's nourished, that you get to go and talk to God. And what it's ultimately doing is building trust. That you would trust God because you were designed to trust him. So all of this is planted inside of you, right? And kind of as a picture of how does prayer actually work then? What is prayer, and another image of prayer? And so you have... You have this. And prayer, when I come to the seeds, when I begin to pray, what I'm actually doing is watering my soul and the seeds that have been put there since creation. How can I pray? Well, it's a gift that's given by God through the person of Jesus, and I come and I water. Some of you thought water was going to come out, didn't you? You just wait. And so I'm watering every time I pray, I'm watering the seeds that God's planted in me. For example, when I go to God and I just spend time with him in prayer, in conversation, I'm watering the relationship. When I go to him and listen, what's blooming, what's growing through prayer, through watering is the relationship with God. You can go through each one of these, that each space you go to, right? Like that when I stop for dinner and I thank God for being my provider, I recognize that that he is provider and that grows in me. But all I did was stop and pray. Why? Because what prayer does, it's the water to what he's put in you. It's what he wants to grow inside of you. It's what he wants your life to become. And prayer is this gift that allows us. Now, the problem is this. Most of us assume that what we were given in Jesus when it comes to watering and prayers is you have a limited amount. And if you don't believe that, we don't pray like it's not limited. Or I don't pray like it's not limited. Right? We assume that there's a certain amount before God's going to be overwhelmed with the relationship with me. There's a certain amount that I have for gratitude. There's only a certain amount of prayers that I have for healing, right? There's only a certain, and so we assume that it's going to run out. However, I think it's more like, some of you know me too well. It's not really on. I just got to break the tension. What you were given in Jesus is an unlimited source. It'll never run out. And why is praying without ceasing important? Because all day long I can water into bloom the things that God has planted in me. Why is this idea of devoting myself to prayer so important? Because just by exercising, just by doing it, what am I doing? I am growing something that God has planted in me. And it doesn't run out. The prayers can continue and continue and continue. Because there's an unlimited source, the power of the Holy Spirit in you, right? That is even praying for you when you don't know what to pray. We'll talk about that later. But this idea that there's this reality that when it comes to prayer, prayer is a gift that I water into bloom the things that God has put inside of me, that changes drastically. That overwhelmingly changes what prayer is and how prayer works. Because prayer is not this religious activity I have to do. It's a gift that lets everything I want bloom into my life. Did I get to experience the goodness of my salvation through taking things to God as I water the different things and they grow and they bloom? I mean, just imagine for a second a human being where all of these are in full bloom. You go, man, that's the person I want to be around. Eugene Peterson, people would travel from far away to just go sit and spend time. Why? Because he'd spent the seasons of bringing into bloom what God had planted inside of him. This idea of instead pray. You look at the life of Jesus. Early on in Luke chapter 5, Jesus goes off to a desert place and it says that he prays. What is Jesus doing? Well, he's on the back end of an extremely busy day, where he's just poured out and given away and taking care of people, and he's just overwhelmed from loving and serving everyone else. And it says that he gets away to a desolate place and he prays. What is he doing? He's watering back in the things that he needs, like a relationship with his father, where he's reminded that even though I've poured out, you are the provider for what I'm pouring out. It's not dependent on me. I think the model that we see of Jesus is so many of us are so busy giving to everybody else that when we get done, there's nothing left. And it leads us to sometimes sin. It leads us to sometimes unhealthy thoughts. It leads us to sometimes spinning up and worrying and being concerned. Jesus is exhausted. He's worn out. He's given everything he can. And what does he do? He goes and he restores through the gift of prayer. Why? Because what the Father does is begins to bloom inside of him what he needs for the next day. The next day, Luke chapter 6, you find Jesus going to a mountain. He gets on the mountain and he prays all night. Now, what's interesting with him praying all night is what happens the next day. Because he prays all night, comes down the mountain. When he gets off the mountain, he goes to pick the 12 disciples. He goes, I'll pick you, you, you. Think about it for a second. This moment changed the course of history. The reason you're sitting here, the reason I'm here, is because God chose 12 people to carry the gospel and the good news. Right? Like plan A, according to God, not plan B. Plan A is Jesus would ascend and leave 12 people to take the gospel, the good news, to every corner of the planet. You're here because of the decision made in that moment. And where was Jesus before he made that decision? On a mountain. And what's he doing? He's watering. He's watering. Could have been easy for him to go, hey, I got my own wisdom. I got my own smarts, right? I can make this decision. I don't need my Father's power for this. I can figure this out. I can do this all by myself. Instead, he's on a mountain. And then he comes down under the wisdom of God. Instead of his own wisdom, he prays. Instead of figuring it out, he prays. You follow Jesus a little further. He ends up at a tomb. And within that tomb is a friend of his, Lazarus. Lazarus has died. What does Jesus do outside of the tomb? He prays. Right? He waters. God, we need to see the power. God, we need to bring into fruition that you can raise the dead. And what happens? Lazarus comes hopping out, literally hopping because he was wrapped in bandages. He's like a rabbit. It could have been easy in that moment for Jesus to bypass that and go, we're just going to do this. Lazarus, get out here. He doesn't do that. He goes and he waters what? The power of God inside of him. That God, you would do this. You're growing faith in me. And he even says, this is for everybody else. What was he doing? He's watering the faith of everybody else. That they would see the power of God raise Lazarus. You follow it a little further. He ends up around a dinner table. What does he do at a dinner table? It says that he takes bread, he breaks it, and he gives thanks. That's that gratitude. He's just watering gratitude. God, you're the provider. I'm just showing people that you're the provider. And what's growing in them is God is our provider. Follow, fast forward. Jesus is resurrected. He meets two people. They end up having dinner. What does he do at dinner? He takes bread and he breaks it and he gives thanks. The same thing he's doing before the cross, he's doing in his resurrected body. Tells me there's a pattern here that we need because it's important for us. He goes and he waters. Jesus gets to the cross. Before the cross, he gets to the garden. In the garden, right? Like sweat drops of blood because he's so stressed. The anxiety, the stress, the pressure, or whatever you want to call it, is so high that he gets to the garden. And what does he do? He cries out. He prays. He waters, and when he leaves, where's he at? God, you're in control. It's your will, not mine. Let's go do this. We'll talk about a word called supplication in a few weeks. Supplication is a phenomenal word. You know why? It's all of the emotions. I don't know about you. God packed me a little bit with emotion, right? It's all the emotions. And what I do in supplication, I take them to God and go, there it is. It's like showing up going, God, I don't like today. And you know what God does? Because you're watering what? Relationship, dependency. He just pulls up alongside you. Hey, why don't you tell me why you don't like today? Well, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, and I'm still worked up. That's pretty bad. Where was I in all that? Oh, I don't know. Hadn't stopped to think about it. And you see what happens, right? Instead of letting my bad day turn into a bad week, turn into a bad year, turn into a bad life, instead, pray. That's what Jesus did in the garden. Think about Jesus on the cross. on the cross, he's praying for others. I don't know about you. I ain't praying for your forgiveness if you're beating me to death. It's not happening. What does Jesus do? Father, forgive them. They don't know what he's praying. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He's watering. Why? So that his soul doesn't grow bitterness, anger, so that his soul doesn't grow in a way that it shouldn't, that it wasn't designed for. Instead of growing those things, he grows dependency on God. He grows forgiveness, and he's able to release them from a cage. What else does he do from the cross? He goes, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He's watering the dependency and the power that I am giving up my spirit, knowing you will raise it from the dead. And in that moment, he hands over his soul, his spirit. He entrusts it. Instead of trying to cling on to this life and cling on and not worried and does God really have it? Can he do it? Instead of that, he goes, instead, I'm just going to pray. Instead, pray. What is it that God wants to grow in your life? What is it that he wants to grow in you? Because what you've been given is a gift called prayer to water into bloom the seeds that he has planted inside of you. And so what is it today that God wants to grow in you when it comes to relationship, dependency, control, healing, power, gratitude, provider, others, trust? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to spend time. We're just going to stop. And we're just going to pause to go for you to ask, God, what is it in me that you want to grow? And then in prayer, you're just gonna start watering. You're just gonna start watering. Start talking to him about it. Instead, pray. So whatever your natural tendency is, instead of that, pray. And so I'd love to pray for you, and then you'll have time and space just to pray. And ask God, what does he have for you? And so God, we are grateful today. Thank you for being a God who is present in our pain. Thank you for being a God who brings peace where there was worry and anxiety. Thank you for being a God who brings love when we feel alone and isolated. Thank you for being a God who is provider. God, we ask in this moment with our hands, heart, soul, life open to you, God, we ask, would you, through the power of your spirit, Holy Spirit, would you speak to each person in this room, each person across the screen today, in living rooms and gyms, isolated on a phone. Holy Spirit, would you speak and would you tell us, would you show us what you desire to see grow? Would you protect us from our natural instinct to grow something else? And instead, would we just pray? Would you help us water that ground right now? Holy Spirit, speak. Mm-hmm.